Shonda Rhimes is an incredibly successful woman. Some of you may know her as a writer, producer, and showrunner of the award-winning television shows like Grey's Anatomy and its successor Private Practice, and now Scandal. She's also producer of How to Get Away with Murder and The Catch. She's the author of a best-selling book, Saying Yes to Everything. Needless to say, she's very, very wealthy and very, very busy. We'll have to avoid that, coughing in that direction. For years, she has thrived on working 15-hour days. Work defined her. Work was her joy. She believed that this was God-inspired and that God was whispering into her ear character development and plot lines. But a couple of years ago, all that sweet success turned to ashes for her. Some might say it was burnout from overwork. But Isaiah, as we will hear later, calls it spending money for that which is not bread, your labor for that which does not satisfy. Everything that previously had motivated her to work longer, strive harder, had disappeared. And she realized she was just going through the motions. What turned her life around was a question from her one-year-old as she was heading out the door to yet another meeting. Mama, want to play? Ordinarily, she would have said, no, I've got to get to my meeting. I'm going to be late if I don't leave right now. She was surprised to find herself, hear herself saying, yes, yes, I do want to play. And as it turned out, she began to say yes to every invitation her children gave her to play. And it turned her life around. It changed her life for the better. Now, she still works long and hard. She has refound joy in her work, but not her obsession with it. Her obsession now is in love, and that is her biggest joy. She believes now that instead of a plot line, God's been whispering love into her ear. And that is enhancing not only her life, but the lives of her three daughters. What in life satisfies you? And what does not satisfy you? Would this Snicker bar satisfy you? It says it does, right here on the back. Well, it will satisfy you, or it will satisfy me. I'm not going to speak for you. Just think about it. That tasty caramel, the creamy nougat, the crunchy peanuts, and chocolate. But for how long will it satisfy your hunger until once the sugar rush goes away? And for how much longer will your obsessions satisfy you? Have you, like Rhimes, overindulged in work? Or perhaps your junk food of choice is the television news or golf? Or following the presidential candidates and their ever-increasing drama. Or fill in the blank with your own personal favorite. Now, these activities are not wrong in moderation. Not even the Snickers bar. But it's easy to take them to excess, isn't it? So is it time for you to have a wake-up call like Rhimes did? It was time for the Jews who were in Babylon near the end of their 40-year exile. It was actually very near the end of that exile, although they had no way of knowing it. Isaiah was writing to his compatriots who'd been forcibly relocated after Babylon destroyed Jerusalem. And while they seemed to yearn for their homeland, they had at the same time made peace with being part of this wealthy nation where luxuries abounded. The ones who were born there during those 40 years had no ties at all to Jerusalem, except those that their parents had tried to instill in them. And the Babylonians didn't treat them like prisoners. In fact, they welcomed their skills and talents into the life of the nation. As a result, many of the exiles began to feel pulled between the fine living that was theirs for the taking and being true to their ancestral faith. As the years of exile wore on, some of them just lost hope of ever returning to Israel and willingly accommodated and acculturated. So God goes to them with this invitation, and I'm reading this from the Message version. "Hey there, all you who are thirsty, come to the water. Are you penniless? Come anyway. Buy and eat. Come, buy your drinks, buy wine and milk. Buy without money. Everything's free. Why do you spend your money on junk food, your hard-earned cash on cotton candy? Listen to me. Listen well. Eat only the best. Fill yourself only with the finest. Pay attention. Come close now. Listen to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. I'm making a lasting covenant commitment with you, the same that I made with David. Sure, solid, enduring love. I set him up as a witness to the nations, made him a prince and leader of the nations, and now I'm doing it to you. You'll summon nations you've never heard of, and nations who've never heard of you will come running to you because of me, your God, because the Holy One of Israel has honored you. Seek God while God is here to be found. Pray to God while God's close at hand. Let the wicked abandon their way of life, and the evil their way of thinking. Let them come back to God who is merciful. Come back to God who is lavish with forgiveness. I don't think the way you think, and the way you work isn't the way I, your God, work." This text is tailor-made for Lent, as we seek to renew or strengthen our relationship with God, who's much more concerned with the food with which we fill our minds and spirits than any hardcore nutritionist is with the gluten and fat and sugar that we put in our bodies. So consider, what could you give up? And are you willing? I sat in on the last half of the Contemporary Issues Sunday School class this morning, where Sarah was leading a discussion on orthopraxing our orthodoxy. And I'm sorry, I can't repeat a lot of what I heard, because it fits right in here, changing our ways. There was a recent email post from Salem Presbytery that you may have seen. It had a Lenten reflection encouraging us to both fast and feast. For example, fast from judging others. Feast on seeing the presence of God in all people. Fast from negatives and feast on affirmatives. Fast from criticizing and complaining. Fast on gratitude. In this all-you-can-eat buffet, God provides the rich food that satisfies the soul and the living water that quenches our thirsty spirits. And what's better is it's free for any and all who choose to come. Of course, God also provides good food, healthy food for the body, although too many folks here in Greensboro don't have it. It is appalling to me that there are numerous food deserts where residents have no nearby access to healthy food, while in other parts of town there's food in such excess that garbage bins are full of leftovers. Hungry people walk past the many restaurants on Elm Street through the enticing smells of food that's being cooked for those with money to buy. So I offer another idea for a Lenten practice that might segue into a permanent practice: to donate food or money to Urban Ministries Food Bank, or help the Blessed Table Food Pantry relocate, or help Amy Murphy, the chicken lady, serve food to the homeless every Monday morning in Center City Park. And perhaps you already do some of these things. I understand that some of you now are serving breakfast at Higher Ground on Mondays. Is it Monday? First Monday of every month. So if you already do these things, invite a friend to join you, or many friends to join you. Make tangible and tastable God's invitation. Hey there, you that have no money, come, buy, and eat. For all the blessings we have and all that we can share with others, let us give thanks to God who is good, whose love endures forever.